He used a fake name just to get close to her.
We knew that he had been, you know, trying to reach out to her, whether to get back with her, I don't know. He acted like he was a client, and he made a point with her.
She stepped out to buy supplies and vanished. Her phone went dark.
She wasn't answering her phone.
Her mother had a dream, a warning. They searched a landfill.
Investigators digging through a Lenox Township landfill for a third day in the case of missing Warren mom, Ashley Elkins.
Then came the press conference and a mother's cry that said what words never could.
He threw her away like trash, like she was nobody. Oh my God.
She was vibrant, grounded, and deeply loved, a mother of two with gifted hands and a growing business. From her home in Warren, Michigan, Ashley Elkins styled hair, raised her sons, and held her family close. But on the morning of January 2, 2025, something shifted. Ashley stepped out to grab supplies for her salon. She left her home, expecting to return just like she always did. But she didn't. Within hours, phone calls went unanswered. Her location dropped off, and the small signs became something far more disturbing. There was no sign of Ashley herself, but what they found inside an apartment changed everything. This case isn't just unsolved, it's unfinished. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Sleuthy Stories. If you're new here, this is the podcast where real-life mysteries unfold, one clue at a time. The audio for today's story has been pulled from my main YouTube channel and remastered for this podcast experience. If you'd like to see the visuals that accompany this case, head over to my YouTube channel, Sleuthy Lucy. But for now, sit back, listen closely, and let's unravel the mystery together. Thanks for being here. Well, hello, and welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. If you haven't already, make sure to hit follow so you never miss an episode. Today's case is part of our unfinished series, stories that are still unfolding, where justice is in motion, but the full truth remains just out of reach. This is a case that just unfolded earlier this year, January 2025, and it's one that continues to raise more questions than answers. We're talking about the heartbreaking disappearance of Ashley Elkins, a 30-year-old mother of two from Warren, Michigan. It's a case full of eerie moments, early clues, and devastating turns. It's a case that challenges what we think we know about control, obsession, and the silence that follows. Throughout this episode, you'll hear actual recordings of Ashley's mother speaking in the raw aftermath of her daughter's disappearance. Her grief is palpable. And at times, it may be difficult to fully understand every word. But I chose to include her voice because no amount of narration could ever capture the depth of what she's feeling. If you'd like to follow along with subtitles for these moments, you can find the full video on my YouTube channel, Sleuthy Lucy. So let's go back to the morning Ashley was last seen. It was around 8:30 a.m., on January 2, 2025, when Ashley Elkins told her sister she was stepping out to pick up supplies for her hairstyling business. She was headed to Kelly Beauty Supply in Roseville, a routine errand for her work. At almost the same time, just 10 minutes later, Ashley's mother, Monica, stopped by her home. She just missed her. Monica went inside, then stepped back out. She had something to share with Ashley. Something she couldn't shake. She texted her. No response. She tried FaceTiming. No answer. That morning, Monica had woken from an unsettling dream. In it, Ashley's car had been left abandoned near a tree, the doors wide open. It felt like a warning, an omen. About 30 minutes later, still feeling uneasy, she pulled out her phone and sent a message, telling Ashley about the dream, and following it with a mother's instinctive warning, "Please be careful. Be aware of your surroundings." Shortly after, a text came back. It read,
"Oh man."
But something felt off. The tone, the timing. Monica's instincts kicked in immediately. Deep down, she didn't believe Ashley had sent it. And in that moment, she knew something was already wrong. As the day went on, Ashley didn't call back. Not anyone. Not her mother. Not her sister. And that wasn't like her. Calls continued to go unanswered. By 4 p.m., her sister Alexis tried again. This time, noticing something strange. The phone didn't ring. It went straight to voicemail. It had either been turned off or had died. But Ashley never turned her phone off. She ran her business through her phone. She had two young boys in school. She was always responsive, always reachable. Even stranger, Ashley always shared her location with Alexis. But when Alexis checked, that location was no longer being shared. No calls, no texts, no updates. That silence set off alarm bells. It just wasn't her. The next day, Monica did what no mother ever wants to do, but knew she had to. She filed a missing persons report. Ashley wouldn't just disappear. She wouldn't go off the grid. Not with two young sons who needed her. And Monica couldn't wait around for police to act. She took matters into her own hands.
Text her, she was here with the kids. She left. Anaya talked to her. She was on her way back. Told her she was going to the beauty supply. Never came back. Phone was dead. Usually phone dead. She could get a charger or whatever. If I call and text and get mad and act crazy or whatever, she calls back. Once the phone's back on. Phone been on for a long time, for hours now. Keep ringing. Her location is off. It's not like her. I don't care nobody say nothing like her. And then please don't tell me it's 99% chance that she probably just like the hell with y'all and whatever. I said she don't do that. She had two boys that she loved to death. And she never want her mama worried. Never. Y'all just keep trying to reach out to her, though. She's trying to reach out to Ashley. Like, her on Facebook, she ain't post nothing all day. She used to post something, so she ain't post nothing. She has no phone calls. Phone's been dead. Location off now. Phone ringing. She not answering. All I've been sending her, she would have called back. She would have texted, like, "Oh, Mom, sorry, da-da." Nothing. Please, in the last location in Roseville and Pinehurst. Car not there. I had been there already. So if y'all see a Malibu, it's an old member, it's gray or whatever. And if you know her number or her Facebook, but she know or whatever, like try to contact her, people she know, and see if they talk to her or whatever. She ain't checked on her boys. They not like her or nothing. Her phone's on now, but her location is off. I'm really worried. I just want to know she okay. Even though her phone was off and it was dead, and then the phone get back on, and then she see my message, see if they recall it, she'll call me back. Her phone is ringing and she not answering, and her location's turned off. I'm telling everybody something's wrong.
That night, she began searching, driving through neighborhoods and back roads, parking lots and alleys, looking for anything. She searched late into the night. Shortly after the report was filed, officers conducted a welfare check at Ashley's home. Inside, everything looked normal, like she had simply stepped out and would be back any minute. But her family knew better. They told police about the last text to her sister, about the strange reply from Ashley's phone, about how unlike her it was to vanish without a word. She would have never left without reaching out. Not to them. Not to her boys. the official search began. But days would pass, and there was still no sign of Ashley.
Yeah, it's been 3 days. 3 days. And I just need help finding her. I just feel like I'm not having enough help. They just taking too long. It's been 3 days. They should have been on this a long time ago. I need help, y'all. I thank y'all. It just ain't fast enough. It's been 3 days. It's been too long. Y'all just keep posting. Keep sharing. Just keep posting. Keep sharing. All right. Thank y'all.
She was last seen wearing a long black coat with fur around the hood, and black leggings. Her last known location pinged in the 20,900 block of Pinehurst Street in Roseville. She was believed to be driving her gray 2009 Chevy Malibu. It's January 7th. 5 grueling days have passed since Ashley disappeared. Police have just located her gray 2009 Chevy Malibu, abandoned near Little Mac and 13 Mile Road in Roseville. The license plate, missing. The car, sitting just a few miles from where she was last known to be. Detectives began asking themselves the obvious questions. Could this have been a carjacking gone wrong? Did she meet someone here? Did she run into trouble before she ever made it to the store? But something about the way the car was left and where it was found felt deliberate. When police shared the discovery with the family, Monika's dream came rushing back, the one that had unsettled her from the moment she woke up the morning Ashley disappeared. In it, Ashley's car had been left abandoned near a tree, the doors open, alone. Now here it was, parked, empty, and eerily close to the very image her mother had seen in her sleep. As police began to investigate, they followed standard protocol, starting with those closest to Ashley. At first, her family didn't suspect DeAndre. He had dated Ashley for about a year. He'd come to family gatherings. He spent time with her sons. He called Monika Mama Love. To them, he wasn't just a boyfriend. He'd become part of the family.
He was good to our kids. He played ball with them. He took me to haircuts. He was part of the family.
But recently, things had started to shift. The relationship had ended, and DeAndre's behavior began to raise quiet red flags. On December 31st, just days before Ashley disappeared, DeAndre used a fake name to book a hair appointment through her website. Then he showed up at her door. He wasn't let in, but he didn't leave right away either. He knocked on the side door of the home, prompting Ashley to tell everyone inside to be quiet until he left. Later, he admitted that he had booked the appointment just to try to see her. Then, after Ashley vanished, he went completely silent. No calls, no texts, no responses. But what truly turned investigators' attention toward him wasn't just the silence, it was the data. The area where Ashley's car was found. The location of her phone's final ping. Both led back to one place, the neighborhood where DeAndre Booker lived. With the details increasingly pointing to DeAndre, he quickly became the focus of the investigation. That same evening, January 7th, police obtained a search warrant for his residence at Hampton Court Apartments. Inside, they found what no one had hoped to find. The bathroom showed clear signs of violence. Detectives discovered a large amount of blood, extensive enough to raise immediate alarm. It was concentrated in one area, the bathroom. The scene didn't look like an accident. It looked like something far worse. But the investigation didn't end there. Police moved to the parking lot, where the apartment complex dumpsters were located. One of the dumpsters was removed and searched. Inside, they found additional signs of blood. It was too much to ignore. Based on what they found, detectives reached a grim conclusion. They believed Ashley Elkins had been murdered. They now had enough to arrest DeAndre. But to secure a conviction, they needed more. The blood evidence was submitted to the Michigan State Police Crime Lab for forensic testing, evidence that would take weeks to confirm. What began as a missing persons case had quickly escalated into a homicide investigation. Detectives had to deliver the grim news to Ashley's family and to the attorney they had brought on to help coordinate media outreach and public pleas.
Maurice Morton, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, M-O-R-T-O-N, spokesperson for the family and uncle. We did meet with Roseville and Warren Police Department tonight. What they indicated was there was substantial evidence collected at the home of the ex-boyfriend. They also indicated that based upon that evidence, that Ashley was murdered. They don't have her body at this time. They do have good leads on where her body is.
This was no longer a search for a missing woman. It was a recovery mission. While the investigation intensified in Roseville, another priority emerged, finding DeAndre Booker. But there was one immediate obstacle. He had already fled the city. However, detectives soon picked up his trail in Flint, Michigan, and worked with local law enforcement there to track him down. He was arrested on January 8, 2025, not for murder, but for lying to police during a violent crime investigation. At his arraignment the following day, January 9th, the prosecutor laid out the preliminary case and the reasons DeAndre should remain behind bars. Investigators had uncovered a disturbing pattern of evidence: a large amount of blood found in the bathroom of his apartment, later confirmed by DNA testing to belong to Ashley, additional evidence recovered from a dumpster, and a clear and repeated refusal to cooperate with investigators. Authorities also presented chilling details from his digital footprint. DeAndre had searched: is blood traceable? How to disappear completely? And how to beat a polygraph? He had deleted his search history and had purchased bleach, gloves, and trash bags, all signs of a planned and deliberate cover-up. What tied it all together, prosecutors argued, was the connectedness of the evidence, the digital searches, the physical cleanup materials, the DNA, and his decision to flee. While in Flint, he used his phone to look up fastest route from Flint to Ohio and what to do on the run. That, combined with his criminal history, made him a clear flight risk. In 2016, DeAndre was charged with larceny and possession of fraudulent ID documents, though no disposition was listed in the case.
The defendant's risk of non-appearance and the likelihood of conviction. Likelihood of conviction, Judge. The defendant made several material factual misstatements to Detective Lasperance and recited those to the court during the course of the initial swear to. The defendant was aware that we were investigating a missing persons report. He was aware that there was some belief of his involvement. He made misstatements about both his location as well as Ms. Elkins and how she may have left his vehicle, left his apartment complex, all of which we can demonstrate by objective evidence and video evidence to be false. So there's a high likelihood of conviction on these cases, on these matters. And then last and most importantly for the court's consideration, I think at this point, is the probability or improbability of returning for trial. We have a history that includes charges, at least. We do not have the disposition, but we did recover PE-214 from his time in the U.S. Army. It looks like in 2016, he was charged with a couple of matters, including larceny of private property, and more importantly, fraudulent ID documents. And then in 2017, he was charged with desertion or the absence without leave, going AWOL from the Army. Ultimately, he was discharged less than honorably, although it was not a dishonorable discharge. He was discharged from the Army in a less than honorable means or manner.
After Ashley went missing, he left Macomb County, fled to Flint, and was arrested there before being brought back to face charges. On January 31st, DeAndre Booker was officially charged with first-degree premeditated murder, tampering with evidence, disinterment or mutilation of a corpse, concealing a death, and lying to a peace officer during a violent crime investigation.
Sir, please state your name for the record.
DeAndre Booker.
Sir, you are charged with count one, homicide, murder, first-degree premeditated.
Macomb County Prosecutor Peter Lucido stated, "The charges in this case are as serious as they come. We believe the evidence clearly supports the allegation that she was murdered and discarded without dignity." Police would go on to launch a full-scale search of the Pine Tree Acres landfill, combing through mountains of waste from January 13th to 19th. The conditions were brutal. Freezing temperatures, snow on the ground, and hazardous terrain. The landfill itself spans more than 700 acres, roughly the size of 500 football fields, and the search wasn't mechanical. It was done by hand. It was painstaking, dangerous, and in many ways it resembled an archaeological dig where every inch mattered. During the search, investigators recovered look-alike items potentially connected to Ashley, now awaiting confirmation through lab analysis. But after 7 long, grueling days, combing through mountains of debris by hand, they still hadn't found her body.
I can't cry no more. I don't know how to feel. I sat here and was like, you know, should I go on Facebook? Should I show my face? I just don't understand why. Like, when I say I loved him and cared about him, and okay, I said I want to cry. I did not want her to be the person, like, 10 years from now, I'm like, you remember the girl Ash Elkins who went missing? And they didn't find her body? I kept saying I didn't want that for her. I want her to be remembered like, I didn't want her to be remembered like that, like 10 years from now, when something happened again, remember that girl Ashley Elkins was never found? They was digging in the garbage can for her and all like Zion, where that was? And then for her body. I never wanted that. And now I gotta accept this was gonna be. I didn't do my hair because the last thing she did for my daughter's 18th birthday party. So I wouldn't get my hair done. I wouldn't take the braids out. I ain't really sleeping. Everybody keep faith and I keep faith and you know, we're gonna fire her, and I don't believe this, and I don't believe that, but it is. Like, he threw her away like trash. Like she was nobody. He threw her away like trash, like she was nobody. Oh my God. I'll never be the same no more. I lost so many people. Deaths after deaths after deaths, people who loved me. And now she gone. Like, you know what y'all don't know is that December 10th, 2023, I was hit downtown. I was at a red light. It turned green. I went through. And a car hit me at 7 miles per hour. And when I called him, he came. He was at the hospital with me. He was there for a lot of stuff, and I just don't understand that he didn't care at all. He called me Mama Love. And you didn't care at all about her kids. You didn't care about her grandma that you met the day of Solana's party when she first met you. And when her birthday came, you bought her a chain with a diamond on it, all that stuff. Like, you was part of family. I was like, oh, he has class. And he's there with my aunts. And when her dad died, he was there taking care of everybody. Hans will have closure. I can't bury her. Like, how that closure? If I had her body, like, what closure am I gonna get for this? I'm always wondering where she is. I'm always be searching. And the whole time, I'm like, okay, do they really know she's there? Like, can we go somewhere else? And I'm like, I gotta have patience. I'm not a patient person. That's why I was out looking. I'm not a patient person. Never. Road rage. Like, I'm not a patient person. Like, I'm not patient. And so I was patient because they, like, she's there. We know she's there. She, you know, and then I was so excited when, and appreciate when the people came from Canada and Ohio. And it was like Friday, they was done with it. And then they just was like, no, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep searching for her. She's there. And then the day is like, we can't do it no more. I just wish I was out there to help. I wish I could have dug too. Like, I wanted to help too. I wanted to dig for her too. I've been so strong. I had my moments. I've been so strong. When I say I've been so strong, because I can't break, because I tell everybody, my family, everybody, and I can't break, because if I break, everybody's broken. But I'm telling you, I am broken. I'm broken. I feel like I lost part of my soul. She my firstborn. For 8 years, it's just me and her. And, you know, I try to raise my kids, like, to be close. And, like, we all we got, you know. It's always been my girls and my mother. That's it, you know. And I told you, know, because we found out I had kidney stage 3B kidney disease. And I was telling, like, you know, I need y'all to stay close, because if something happens to me, you know, Ashley, you gotta take care of the family, you know? And now she's not here. So now I'm worried now, because who's gonna take care of when I'm gone? Who will take care of them when I'm gone? Because you're like, I got you, Ma. I got this. I got you. I'm going to take care of everything. And now she's not here. So who going to take care? My youngest daughter came in the room this morning. Because I've been in bed for days, like, just laying there. Hope when I wake up in the morning, it's gonna change. When I wake up, I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't wake up from the nightmare. And then one day, I'm asleep. And you don't sleep, my kids, I'm like, Ma. You know, I'm like, huh? So I'm asleep, and I hear somebody say, Ma. I'm like, huh? Walk up, look around. It was her voice. Then another dream about what happened to her. And I got confirmation today that it was what I saw in my dream a couple days ago. It was crazy. I was there that night looking for her, and she was there. I was right there. I was right there. I couldn't save her. I was just there. Like, I had a dream days before that. And every day I was going to tell her something happened. I was trying to, I ain't going to tell her. But that one day, I got to rock like I found a goddamn jail. They always take my fucking jail like that. So I went to her house. And I got there and she was like, Ashley gone. So I went in, tried to put some jail around my shit. And then I was about to pull off. And I said, no, I'm gonna pull back in. I text her at 9:06. So she left at 8:30. I got an 8:40 in the house. Text her at 9:06. So it was a whole half an hour. Yeah. All right, y'all. I thank all y'all being there with me, sending prayers and posting her stuff. And like, I don't know y'all, but I love y'all, but I'm not okay. I don't know when I'm gonna be okay. I don't know. But I thought I had to go in here and just kind of tell y'all where I'm at, because I've just been sitting here laying for days, not doing nothing. And I just feel like I owe y'all to just come on here and tell y'all how I'm feeling. And, yeah. It's horrible. I can't even explain it. How I feel like, I kind of feel like I died a little bit, you know? I feel like I died a little bit. Like a part of me died. That's how I feel. like, I'll die a little bit. So no, I'm not okay. I'm broken. When I say I'm broke, I'm broken. I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain it. I'm like trying to wake up, and things change, and it's not changing. She's been gone since January 2nd. What's today? The fuck is today? I don't even know what day it is or what. 20th? Wow. How do you know that? Cause I don't know what day it is or what's the date. I don't know if it's fucking Friday, Monday, nothing. I don't know nothing. I just know this one hurt back.
The evidence paints a grim picture, and charges have been filed. DeAndre is currently being held in the Macomb County Jail on a $250,000 cash bond. His attorney requested a bond reduction, but the judge denied it, citing his flight risk and criminal background. But Ashley's body has not yet been recovered, and that absence still looms over everything. Ashley Elkins isn't just a missing person. She was deeply loved. Her sister Alexis called her a really good big sister, always there for everybody. A 30-year-old mother of two, Ashley balanced her business and family with grace. She was the glue of her family, and her absence ripped through their lives. Two boys, ages 10 and 7, no longer have their mother.
I thought he was the one who was going to marry her. So I'm just really shook that he would do something like this. Found out later from friends first that, yeah.
So he was...
Because he would go through her phone, and she was doing hair at home. And he had a problem with men coming in and get their dreads and stuff done. And so she had got a booth somewhere on 8 Mile so that she wouldn't have any problems with him. Then when they broke up, then she just went back and started going from her house. I believe he had her when she walked out that front door.
There is a GoFundMe for the future of her boys to help raise them, support their dreams and education.
We love you. May you rest in peace. Justice for Ashley.
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 We love you. Let's go.
Now with everybody here, it shows everybody cares. You know, when I thought nobody cared at all, I see that everybody cares now. The youngest boy is 7, he's autistic. So he's still asking her, like, if the phone rings, is that my mom? If somebody comes to the door, is that my mom? So he doesn't understand.
A trial may come. A verdict may follow. But without Ashley, her family is left with heartbreak, not closure. Until she is found, the story isn't over. And neither is the search. Without answers, her family is left stuck in limbo, unable to fully move forward and unwilling to let go. A suspect may be behind bars, but her body and the truth are still unanswered. And for now, that means this case remains unfinished.
It won't really be justice without a body for me. You know, him going to prison and not ever getting out, that's good, but you know, me not being able to bear her, that's hard for me.
That wraps up this episode of Sleuthy Stories. Thanks for joining me as we uncover the twists and turns of real life cases. If you enjoyed the show, Don't forget to follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a moment, please leave a rating. It really helps more true crime fans find us. Want to see the visuals that go with today's case? You can find the full video version on my YouTube channel, Sleuthy Lucy. Check the link in the description. I'll be back soon with another case. But until then, keep your wits sharp and your curiosity sharper.